Our second reading today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us, and do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight, and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me, the door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" May the Lord bless this reading and our understanding of it today. Well, I'm hoping this heat wave ends soon. This past week, I was out helping Ben Fisher. You remember Ben? He's the Amish fella up the valley. He's helped us out here sometimes. And, you know, Ben and I have built a friendship over the months. It's pretty interesting talking with him. And he was telling me, we were passing down through Pleasant Gap, and there was a police officer pulled off to the side, as they sometimes do, just keeping track of folks' speed going down the hill there. And Ben saw that, and he said, "Yeah," he said, "one of the fellows had a run-in with a policeman the other day." I said, "Really, Ben, what happened?" And he said, "Well, they were driving a carriage and a team of horses down the lane, and he got out to the end of the lane, and he was about to go out on the main road, and he could see nothing was coming, because, you know, you don't move all that fast with those horses. So he said he just pulled right on out into the road and started to go on his way. Well, there was a policeman sitting up there at Decker Road, saw that, and pulled out and pulled over the horse in the carriage. So I'm sorry I missed that sight. I might have wanted to take a picture of that. But the policeman gets out and comes over and he says, "Son, you know you just ran a stop sign." And he said, "Well, yes, sir, I know I did, but you know, I'm driving a team of horses, you know, it's kind of hard to get them stopped and started again, and I could see there was nothing coming. So it made sense to me." And he said, "Besides, I did call the team of horses to a halt." And the officer stopped and he thought about that a little bit. "Might be someone you know, Ro, I don't know." And he says, "Well, I tell you what," he said, "you know there's a difference." He said, "You know what the difference is between a halt and a stop?" And the young man thought for a minute. He goes, "Well, sir, no, not really." And the officer said, "Well, it's $25. So anyhow, that's got nothing to do with this message. But I hadn't given you a joke in a while, so I figured I'd better do that. Now, I titled my message this morning, "Pray and Persist." Pray and persist, or persistence in prayer. You may not think that those two things go together, but if you go back and look through your Bible and just do a word search on prayer, you're going to find a lot of times where it says devoted to prayer, praying continuously, being persevering in our prayer. Some of those references are Romans 12:12, Ephesians 6:18, and then Acts 1:14. But I thought it was interesting today, you know, as I was reading through these scriptures this week, Luke 11 gives us kind of an interesting sequence. The reading begins with Jesus, as he's used to do quite frequently, in a time of prayer. And although he's praying alone, The disciples are watching him. And something is happening to Jesus as he prays. They've seen this before, of course, how he is empowered by the prayer time that he has. And it kind of captures the attention of these disciples. Enough so that when Jesus finishes, they say, "Teach us how to pray. Lord, teach us how to pray like you do." And from this instruction, we have the Lord's Prayer. And we recite that and pray that just about every week here in church. And I bet most of you can recite that prayer from memory. But it's the pattern of the prayer that holds the true instruction for us, the pattern of the prayer. You see, the pattern provides us with certain petitions. There's five of them. And I'm not going to give them all to you. I want you to look at that prayer and pick out the five petitions. But they can provide us with a model for the way we structure our own prayers. The first one, the first petition, is recognizing God as a source of holiness. Our Father, who art in heaven. And it shows us a way to approach God with reverence. The first few words refer to God as our Father, which suggests an intimacy that can only be found in a personal relationship. The prayer also involves responsibilities, honoring the kingdom of God, and doing God's will. You see, the purpose of that prayer is not to accomplish our will, but to help accomplish God's will on earth. Praying this prayer is about accomplishing what God wants done, so his name is glorified and his will is done on earth. Of course, we should and we do trust in God to provide for our needs, both physical and spiritual, to forgive us for the wrongs that we commit, and to lead us to make good decisions. But after sharing this prayer with them, Jesus tells this odd story about a man who has visitors in the night, but has nothing to feed them. So he goes over at midnight and knocks on his neighbor's door. That's something we always like to have happen, isn't it? And he asks him for bread. But the man refuses to get up. He says, "Go away." At least at first he does. And Jesus said that even though the man refuses to get up and help his friend initially, because of the persistence of the man, he eventually will get up and give his neighbor what he wants. Now, I read through this several times as I tried to understand this message that Christ was making. For instance, who are we in this story? And who is God? Some commentaries have explained that God is the one that's already in bed for the night, and he doesn't want to be bothered. And it also points out that because we as followers of Jesus, that we're the children that he references. There's also a commentary that talks about how, since this is presented right on the heels of this instruction on prayer, it has something to do about how we are to pray and what our expectations in our prayer should be. And I think this kind of hit closer to home for me this week. You see, the neighbor had a relationship with his friend, and he trusted in his neighbor to help him. And although he didn't come right away, he persisted, perhaps even making an annoyance of himself. But he never gave up hope that his friend would help him, and he had the ability to provide what he needed. We often wonder if God hears our prayers. And if God does hear them, how does God respond? My friend Matt, I've talked about Matt before, he once said to me that when his mother was sick, he prayed for God to heal her and save her from death. And yet she died anyway. And then when his father was sick, Matt prayed for God's will to be done, that if it were his father's time, that God would ease that transition and comfort them in their loss. And yet his father recovered and lived for several more years. And Matt would ask me, he said, "How are we to pray? How are we to know when God is answering our prayers?" Well, I've seen God answer prayers, but as far as the timing and how God does that is still a mystery to me. But I do know, and I have seen, and I have experienced for myself, doubts and darkness that sometimes overshadow our faith, and that prompts us to doubt God, and may even prompt us to doubt God's existence. This past week, we had a discussion in our world religions class, and Nancy Wagner mentioned that she had heard or read somewhere how Mother Teresa of Calcutta shared that she had gone over 50 years without hearing a word from God. Well, this intrigued me, and it prompted me to do a little more research into Mother Teresa, and I was surprised to find that despite her sacrificial life of service, she was plagued by doubts about her faith and about the existence of God. There was a Time magazine article that was published about Mother Teresa in August of 2007 that revealed that through her private letters and journals that she struggled for most of her life to sense God's presence in her work and in her life. The letters are startling in the way that Mother Teresa's interior life was depicted. Even though she was always smiling and joyful in public, her letters describe her living in a state of deep and continuous spiritual pain. She writes to her friends and mentors of the dryness, the darkness, loneliness, and torture she is undergoing, and she compares the experience to hell. At one point saying it has driven her to doubt the existence of heaven and even of God. Mother Teresa. And yet her biography found how Mother Teresa, starting in the 1960s, found ways to live with this darkness in her life, and she never gave up on her work or on her faith. Her personal writings have been published in a book, and it's entitled Come Be My Light. And there's two principal themes in this book. One is the one I've already mentioned, the darkness and doubt that she felt. But secondly, the second theme is her absolute conviction that what she was doing was God's will. And that is what motivated her and helped her to persevere through the darkness. Commentaries on this book have said that it was these struggles that she had that are proof of her faith-filled perseverance and could even be the most spiritually heroic act that she ever did. Well, I think her experiences can encourage us. I would not hesitate to say there's not a person here that hasn't experienced doubt in our faith. They tell us that those dry times in our spiritual lives are normal, and we should expect them. But these examples also show how we are to persevere, to continue the work that God has made clear we are to do. Just a few weeks ago, we read Galatians 6, verse 9, "Do not grow weary in doing what is good." But I also think it's one reason why coming here on a Sunday morning and being in community with one another is so very important, because we need one another to encourage us and to strengthen us for the struggles that we will face. We need to hear from our friends and our neighbors their insights on how they see God working in us to encourage us and help us through those times when we doubt that. Well, our scriptures from Luke end with an assurance and a promise that God does indeed hear our prayers, and that God wants the very best for us, and that we should continue the good fight as long as we draw breath on this earth. And there's something here that I think we need to realize. For although verse 13 refers to us as having a nature of evil, God never gives up on us. God persists in his love for us. So it's not just us that persisting by knocking on the door of the neighbor at night. It's God also persisting in his love for us, in his pursuit of our hearts. There's an artist, William Holman Hunt. He painted a portrait of Jesus Christ. It took him 3 years, 1851 to 1853. You may have seen it. It's entitled The Light of the World. And it depicts Jesus preparing to knock on a door. Now that door is gone unopened for many, many years. It has been overgrown with weeds and bushes. And all that is evident in the picture. And it's an illustration of a scripture verse, Revelation 3:20. And it says, "Listen, I am standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to you and eat with you and you with me." You see, this imagery of knocking on a door is similar to this scripture verse we had today in Luke 11. In Luke it said, So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. But in the Luke scripture, the one doing the knocking and the asking is us. Not so in this verse in Revelation. Here it is Jesus Christ that stands outside the door and knocks. And one of the most meaningful symbols of this portrait is that the door has no handle. There's no way for Jesus to open that door. It can only be opened from the inside. It's a powerful image. It's one that I've used in prison ministry with men that have no hope, with men who can easily visualize their hardened hearts being that unopened door, overgrown with weeds and stuck fast. I often try to bring a message each week of hope and love, assuring all of us of God's desire to be present in our lives. But I often stand here and I assume that all of you have opened that door to Jesus Christ, that all of you have taken the time to say, "Yes, Jesus, I want you in my life and in my heart." And then we, of course, go on this spiritual journey where each of us seek to become more sanctified in our faith, more like Jesus Christ. And it is a journey filled with ups and downs, of struggles, of temptations and failures, and of forgiveness. Well, maybe my assumption isn't accurate. And I want to ask today, if you have not opened that door to Jesus Christ, then let's not wait any longer. Today you can open that door and accept Jesus in your heart. You can say this prayer and accept the love that God is offering through faith in Jesus Christ. And it will be an experience, I promise, an experience of joy that is lasting, and it will transform your life. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for our message today, of the ways that you have instructed us on praying, and most importantly, Lord, the message on perseverance, perhaps the most important instruction, that we never grow weary of turning to you, praying for your guidance in our lives, that you would heal us and help us each step of this day and this world as we live here. And I pray, Lord, that if there is one today that has not opened that door to you, Lord, that you would convict their hearts, that today is the right time to open and accept you into their lives. And may you enter, Lord, and demonstrate through your Spirit the love that you have for them and for us. And transform our lives, Lord, and help us as we continue to strive to be more like you in our daily lives. Lord, we pray all of these things in the name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.